Well, it's John David Bowman, and I'm the 2015 Arizona Teacher of the Year.
All right, perfect. So let's begin. What's the right balance for how involved parents should be in their children's homework?
Well, and again, I can only really speak from my experience, but I do think that when it comes to older kids, you know, especially high school age, parents tend to be a lot more hands-off. And I think that's because, you know, they feel that they were probably much more hands-on K-8 and are hoping that they've established these traits, character traits, and study habits in their kids so that when the student says, I got all my homework done, they might just take them at their word. I know that I wish we had more parents coming to open house to meet with teachers. I particularly teach juniors and seniors, and there's plenty of times where I have maybe 3-4 parents that come in because they've already done it. They came freshman year, and they kind of feel like they've seen it, they've done it, their kid's fine. I think any time, you know, you can meet face-to-face with your students' teachers, I feel like that will make it a lot more comfortable to reach out and have that communication. You know, as a teacher, I'm charged with communicating with parents, so I will send out emails, I'll make phone calls. But it's a lot, I think, easier once I've had a face-to-face meeting. You know who I am, we've met, we've spoken, we've developed at least a cursory relationship where now when I call, we have a better understanding. A lot of times these open houses, it's at the beginning of the year, and teachers are able to sort of let the parents know, here's what the expectations are, or here's what, a typical homework load in a given week would be. So, for instance, for the parents who do come to my room for open house, I let them know, if 3 days go by and your student says, I don't have any homework for AP U.S. History, they're not being honest. That just never happens. And so as a parent, I think that's good to know because, you know, a lot of times a 16, 17-year-old doesn't want to do homework, right? There's a lot more fun things out there to do. So they might say, nah, I don't have any homework. I'm good. And the parent might believe them. But if they come to open house and we have that dialogue sort of understood, that's never going to happen.
All right, let's back up a little bit because you mentioned something interesting. Let's put a frame to this. So you said, you know, a lot of parents K-8 are probably all over their kids. They've taught them a little bit of what they think is a good way to, interact in a classroom, study habits, et cetera. And then maybe they want to back off hoping they got it. Is that good or bad?
I think it's a case-by-case scenario. I think I'm sure there's plenty of students who, and I guess let me back up, let me be clear, I can't speak. I've never taught elementary or junior high. I can't say that all parents of K-8 kids are, all over their kids in terms of homework. I just think that they're maybe more involved because it's newer. The process is newer. So I think that they might be more involved, not necessarily as involved as they should be. But when it comes to whether or not that's good or bad, I think it can be good if you aren't, if you're not constantly all over your student, your high school student, and they have all A's, B's, and they're doing great, then I guess you can kind of back off a little bit. But if you back off and you don't ask about their homework and you don't ask about their grades and their tests and you don't communicate with teachers and the students have D's and F's, then I think you should probably want to get more involved. I think the most success that I've seen, and again, it's case by case, I have parents who are pretty hands-off and their kids are successful, but I have kids who are, or parents who are hands-on and their kids still are struggling. But I do think if the kid is not being successful, then ultimately being more hands-on is better than being more hands-off.
All right, well, let's talk specifically to the parents that are probably perking up right now looking for some help are the ones that would maybe are trying to find a way to help without interfering. You know, a lot of kids at this age are they know everything, and it can be difficult for parents to try to find a way to help you know. So what is if the kid is struggling in school, but there is no establishment for the parent, and let's just keep K through A out of it and assume that that is whatever it was. But right now, currently, the kid is a freshman, junior, senior, or sophomore, or junior high, whichever is, and you're this parent is like, all right, well, I've tried leaving him alone, but every semester I get a surprise of D's and F's, and then you might, you know, I have a talk and maybe an offer an incentive or two, and then a semester later I'm in the same predicament. What can a parent do to try to maybe change that circle?
Number one, and this is something that, and by the way, I want to make it clear, I'm nothing critical of parents. I feel like life is busy and things, time gets away from us, but I think that parents who communicate with their teachers and their counselors and the people at school, I mean, let's think about it. If you have this 15, 16, 17-year-old at high school, they're spending the majority of their time at school. That's a huge amount of time, especially if they have sports or orchestra doing things after school, before school. So in a given week, they're at school a lot. So the people who can help you relate and get through to your student are the people that are at that school. So reaching out to a teacher, and if you don't get the response you want from the teacher, reaching out to a counselor, reaching out to an administrator, and just saying, if the parent is willing to figure out a solution, then I'm pretty confident that the people who are employed at the school are going to want to find a solution as well. But what I often see is a parent might call the last week of school. Oh, I noticed my, so-and-so has a 40%. Can they pass your class? And we have 3 days left in school. Now, it's also the teacher's responsibility to reach out. But if I leave messages and I send emails and I don't hear anything until the last week, we're really not setting up that student for success.
Number one, reach out to the teachers. What's number two?
I think it's 1B. 1B is what do you do? What do I mean when I say reach out to teachers? It's not just make a phone call and say, hi, I'm so-and-so's mother or father. It's asking the teacher, what are the expectations? What's the daily procedure look like? What should I expect my student to have to do to be successful in your class? So if a parent asks me, or if I'm explaining to a parent, I would say that, honestly, your student will not fail my class if they turn everything in on time and they follow the procedures in class. Now, I'm not saying they're going to get an A for doing it, but if you want to make sure your student doesn't fail, we have notebook checks every week. We will have probably 1 to 2 extra outside of class reading assignments. We'll help do class discussions. This is all within a given week. And I can explain that to the parents. And then now they kind of know what it is that their student's doing.
Okay.
And the other thing to ask is, what are the assessments look like? Are they taking, is it all essays? Is it all multiple choice? How are you assessing my student so that I can help my student know how to prepare?
Okay, so simplifying that and keeping it number one thing, reach out to the teacher. You have about six, you're going to want to do about this about 6 or 7 times, or at least the problem classes. Reach out to these teachers, find out what's expected in the class, what's a day like, and kind of basically figure out what your child is going through in school. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and then so now you've received this information. Your teacher has said, hey, your kid goofs off, he talks too much, or he doesn't turn in that daily notebook, or a myriad of different reasons as to why this student is struggling grade-wise. You have an answer. What do you do with that answer?
Well, now that you know what it is that they're expecting, it's having that communication with your child and asking them, on a daily basis, what it is that they're supposed to be doing. I know most districts now have parent portals. They can go in and you can check the grade of your student, and you can in all the classes, you can see whether they're being successful or not. And the other thing is, now that I have this information, I'm speaking with my student, maybe I'm looking at the grade. When I see something, if I see that it's an F or a D, or maybe you don't want your student to have C's, if you see a problem at a grade, that's the moment to contact the teacher. I would never be upset with a parent calling and asking me, my student's not being successful, what, why, what can they do to solve it? I would never be upset with that. I have, it's part of my job. So I think constantly being able to look at it and not just wait until the end of the quarter or the end of the semester to go and check, see whether they've been successful or not.
So for Parent Portal, let's start there. I make a weekly, for the first couple of years, I made a weekly commitment to looking. I mean, I just put the little icon on my iPad or on my phone, and it already has the the username, the password on it. I go in there, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at what he's done this week, his assignments per class, what's coming up, what's going, you know, what's happening. Just tell, in your words, tell a little people a lot. Maybe people don't even know this exists. Tell them how much information and an email to the teacher is all pretty much on this portal, depending on, I'm sure, the district. I'm in the Scottsdale district. But tell people a little bit about how much technology can help keep up with your kids' grades.
Yeah, so in my experience, you know, number one, you get to see, you can find out a whole lot. You can find out, you know, maybe the teacher's not inputting grades. Sometimes, you know, a student might come home and say, Mom, you know, I know it says D, but I turned in this work, but they just haven't entered it. You can actually go in and check to see, oh, you know what, you're right. Mr. Johnson or whoever didn't put in that project. I don't see it in the grade book. So you can kind of, you can fact check what your student's saying. You can see how they're doing. I know, again, it's district by district, but in my district, you can break down your student's grades. Here's how they're doing on exams. Here's how they're doing on projects. Here's how they're doing on homework. And it breaks down their grades into different categories, so you can really isolate. Maybe they're doing great in everything, but you know what? There's a couple essays in this class, and they struggle writing. So you can at least, then you can isolate, okay, we need to work on writing skills, because everything else seems to be pretty good. So there's a plethora of information that's very, very detailed, and again, you have the teacher's contact information, email, give them a call if you have a question about something. It goes back to contacting the teacher.
All right. So now we have a New Year's we have a parent with a New Year's resolution of helping their high school or junior high kid get a little bit better with their grades. Step one, reach out to the teacher, say, hey, I do have this New Year's resolution. How can I make my kid better? What do you have going on in the class? Step two, kind of follow up and see after you've had a talk. But let's talk about the talk and how can you start managing this. Let's assume it's the goofing off in class, or let's assume it's comes home and, you know, as soon as it's 3 o'clock, I'm forgetting about school and homework is a distant past because I want to rush through and get to my video game or my Facebook or whatever it is kids do these days. How do you, now that you're armed with, you know, you have a teacher that now knows you're alive because you've reached out and you have you have the information instead of asking, hey, do you have any homework? No, well, it says here you do, or, you know, what do you now, what can parents start to do from a teacher's perspective? What can they start to do to try to start encouraging the child to finish, you know, their homework or be more, I guess, you know, focused on their schoolwork?
Well, I'll focus this right now on freshmen. And I think this is something that parents can really, I mean, we need as many voices explaining this as possible. If you look at any high school in Arizona, and I don't want to say 100%, so I'll give myself a 99.9%. I would say that the number one group of students, the highest rate of failure, is the freshman year. So there's plenty of students who turn it all around. They get used to high school. They're getting A's and B's, and you look at their GPA their senior year, and it's like 2.7. You go, Donnie, what happened? Why, you're a good student freshman year. So if I'm a parent, the one thing that we really want to do to speak to our high school students is to understand, especially freshmen, social promotion is over. So at the junior high level, you can fail classes and you just keep advancing. They just pass you through. And then students get to the freshman year and they don't understand. They really don't. I've witnessed this in freshman classrooms. I've spoken to freshman students and tried to explain this. And they still do not understand that if they fail a required class, just one, they don't graduate. And I think parents can start, that's one piece of the puzzle. If parents can reiterate to their students and let them know that, look, high school is different. There's consequences now. Now, I think it's kind of unfair that we train them that there are no consequences for a number of years, and then there are.
That's a different
story. Nevertheless, I think parents need to help explain that. That
right.
If you fail this class, you have to make it up. That's summer school, or it's online. Those things cost money.
All right. So I think we've touched a bunch of angles. For my son, you know, I've pretty much been doing this. You know, he's had, our argument is usually how many B's he has, and how much I tell him how those could have been A's, like how he's left money on the table because an 89 is sitting there, or he's not applied himself here. And I go through the parent portal and I say, you see this easy money right here? I call it easy money. You didn't turn in this notebook. Come on. You know what I mean? Or you didn't turn in this, you know, starting with doing all the grunt work of easy turn in papers. And then you're able to be ready for that test. You know what I mean? Like if you study all, you know, you did the proper studying and you get an 80, well, because you've turned in all this other stuff, you still get an A in the class, you know, obviously depending on, you know, how the thing is structured or whatever. But having that is kind of what I've done with him, as well as what, you know, I reach out to all the teachers at the beginning of the year, let them know I'm alive, you know, and then I'm a person that cares. And then I follow up with him on a regular basis. And then after a while, and he's in his junior year, then I start letting him know that he can, you know, do it himself, you know.
Right.
And finals too, and telling him the importance of a few weeks before figuring out what those are, a week before finals, taking a day on each class and reading over the semester's materials and stuff like that.
Well, and you just hit on something really important that I think parents should really also include in this dialogue with their students, is that, I'll be honest, and I teach a lot of advanced classes, but it's even same for the advanced, and I know it's true for general. If your student just does what is asked of them, typically in a lot of high school classes, there's a lot of, I call them free points. There's a lot of things that you just do it, and you're going to get credit. And then if you don't do so hot on the test, you might still work a B in there. Maybe an A, again, like you said, it depends on the teacher. But the parents need to understand that there's so many, just by not turning in something, and it sounds silly, but at the end of the semester, when a student has an 89, but they had 4 missing assignments, that easily could have been a 90. And I think showing your students that, the kids that it really is, it's that simple. It's just follow through, be accountable, be organized, and turn in the things that need to be turned in. And I think you'll see a level of success increase.
We're not talking about one time I looked at the grades or one time a parent should be contacting a teacher. It's a lot. It's not every day. It's not, you know, overbearing. It's not micromanaging. But it certainly is making sure that they know that you're going to look.
Absolutely. And, you know, this state has a ton of really great educators. But sometimes you make a mistake and you forget to turn something in, and all of a sudden, it's like progress report time, a quarter, and they might have missed something. Being able to reach out to a teacher and communicate, that would go a long way. I really do think ultimately communication and having a relationship, and again, it is not a one-way street. Teachers need to do it as well. But building that relationship, and I think it also works from the student standpoint of, I know my parent and my teacher are talking. I can't play one against the other. I've got to really make sure I'm on my game.
Right. And it also works for the kids understanding that if they've missed an assignment, and I know every teacher has different rules about this, and my son is taking a couple AP classes right now too, and he learned the difference between general and AP. But in general, if you have a relationship as a student with that teacher, it's completely different once that teacher knows you are concerned with your grades.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I tell my students all the time, and whether I'm teaching them or whether they're in my scholars program, I let them know, look, if you have a bad grade, you go talk to that teacher right now. You do not wait until the end of the quarter or the end of the semester. Talk to them. Develop a relationship with them. Let them know that you're willing to work and you want to fix your mistake, And, I mean, 9 times out of 10, a teacher's going to understand that.
Or at the very least, you're going to learn the thing that you didn't know. So if you have the hardest teacher on earth, and that's that 10th of the 9 times out of 10 you just mentioned. So this is rare. That says, no, I'm not going to take the assignment. Yes, you are getting the 50 that you got on the test. That teacher, even after you've getting that, that hard-nosed teacher will at least likely take a few extra seconds and explain where you went wrong on this algebraic equation or where your sentence structure is wrong on this essay or whatever. And then you'll be ready for future assignments similar, right?
Yeah, it's never a lose-lose to go and speak with the teacher and let them know you're concerned. You're right. I mean, there could be that 1 out of 10 that says, sorry, Johnny, you got the F, but at the end of the day, you're still going to learn from that experience.
Right. And then again, and parents can encourage their students to do this on their own. It teaches them how to be accountable for themselves and gives them those social skills with their teachers and helps them keep up with their own grades, which is important.
Right.